to buy if they had a prayer request they wanted to share with me. I guess. Did y'all hear that? His first daughter was stillborn October 26th, and his grandbaby said to be born induced labor on the 26th. So it's what it is a new lease on life. It's just a promise being renewed. It's a good thing. That's an awesome thing. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I heard about a preacher that was, going to go take his family to Disney World or somewhere. You can carry him to Disney World, and they had a day set. And his wife said, no, we can't go on this day. We've got to go on this day. And he said, dear, I've already made reservations and everything, hotel arrangements. She says, I know, but I was in prayer, and the Holy Spirit told me we need to be there on this Tuesday, not this Sunday. And he said, dear, I've already made arrangements. She said, well, remake them. And so they remade them. When they got there, was a terrible storm. So there you go. She doesn't say, come here, there's a terrible storm. And they would go under the shelter, and they had a five-year-old daughter. And while they're under the shelter, this other lady was standing there, and their five-year-old daughter ran, who never goes to strangers, ran to this woman and held her, just clenched her. And the woman reached out and held the little girl. And the little girl looked and said, it's going to be okay. And when it was over with, that she came over to the preacher and says, you didn't know this, said, but I lost my little 5-year-old daughter just a couple of months ago, and said, this is the first time I've been out since my daughter died. And said, the very first thing is your 5-year-old daughter comes and hugs me and looks at me and says, it's going to be all right. She says, so I know that was God. So like on the 26th, if they had a baby on the 26th, that's just a good confirmation to you. You already know your baby. You've never seen your baby, but you'll see her when you get to heaven. That's going to be awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And she had, look, that's an awesome thing. Just thinking about, I think I was seeing my mom again with both legs, you know, it's awesome. That's exactly right. It could have been. And if that's so, then thank God for that. You know what I'm saying? Because I would much rather. That's right. All righty then. Okay. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And when the baby comes along like that, just know this, that baby is unformed in God's eyes. And that baby, it's like that movie where the little boy went to heaven and he said he saw, he had no idea that he had a big sister. Yeah. And he saw her and talked to her. So that, yeah, that's awesome. Them stay dead. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Now, I tell you what, Stephen, you lead us in prayer.
Your mic's on pause.
Look, I don't necessarily like open book tests because some of the worst grades I've made at Lee University with open book tests. I think that there's a trick, they told me that they didn't say I had to be multi-skilled. They said they want me to be multi-talented, read and write, and I said I can't do but one or the other, okay? Yeah, I need to work on the writing. All right. We've been talking about life purposes, and I think it is part three. Yeah, because Eddie was telling me I thought it was part four. It's part three. Because I'm looking at last week's, it says part two. October 10th, part two. Okay, he needs to take the same reading course I need to be taking. He and I both. Look, Larry and Mo and Shemp and Curly, all of us, we're just all going to take it together. we'll let Curly lead the class. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Well, I did hear, y'all heard about the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, and he didn't understand what he was reading, and Philip had been translated and come by, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "No," and he said, "Have you been, you got to know Jesus?" And he said, "You've been baptized." He said, I don't know about that either, so he baptized him. Well, there was this church where this guy was supposed to be like an overseer, and this is a true story. He gets up and he says, there was this utopian unch, not an Ethiopian eunuch, a utopian unch, and the utopian unch. I mean, they told us this in Bible college. It was hilarious. We laughed so hard at class that we couldn't even finish the class. It was a, I heard about one preacher said he preached for 30 minutes on Samson. When he got through preaching, he realized he had been preaching for 30 minutes on Tarzan. Okay, here we go. I've done my own. I can tell you some of my, look, if you hear some of mine, I'm going to tell you I've done some of the wildest stuff. I'm telling you. I go back and listen to the tape, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I need to send an apology to those people. Yeah, that's the biggest one of them all. My first sermon was on Matthew chapter 14. Peter walking on the water, my very first sermon. Yeah, that's the very first sermon I ever preached. All right, so five key questions about your purpose. Number one, this is what people ask all the time, so I just try to put them all down here. Ready? Instead of y'all having to ask them, and if you want to ask them questions after this, it'll be okay, but this is five that I'm pretty sure you would ask if I said, did you want to ask a question? You might think about asking one, two, three. That's one, two, three, four, or five. All of them. Ready? Do I have only one purpose in life? Have you ever asked that? Have I just got one purpose? God, just got one thing for me to do? Is there multiple things for me to do? What is it you have for me to do, God? Do I only have one purpose in life? No. Do I now? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're exactly right. All right. Do I have only one purpose? No, you have several purposes. This is kind of written out, okay? You have several purposes depending on the different major roles you feel in your life, right? And we're going to go down and start talking about this, but here it is. This is something that everybody has. Everybody has these purposes here. Growing in Christ-like character. There's not a one person in here that does not have that purpose in your life. We all, in order to reflect Christ, because you know we're a reflection. You know that y'all actually don't see me? You know you don't see me. You know what you see? My reflection. If you turn that light off, you can't see me. Did you know that? Have you ever turned the light off and then you're in total dark and somebody starts talking, where are you at? Turn the light on, you see them, because you're not seeing them, you're seeing their reflection. Bless his heart. Okay. All right. You're not seeing me, He said, my reflection. If you go out and look at the moon tonight, do you know the only reason you can see the moon is because of the sun? Because the moon has no light of its own. You see the reflection of the sun and the moon. So in order for people to see us in this dark world, we got to have some light. And we do not radiate light on our own. Unless you've been into a nuclear minefield. Jack some radioactive fuel, you know, like Gilligan did that time on Gilligan's Island, and they had him up doing like this, you know. You're not shining. So the only way we can shine is to reflect Jesus' light. He's the sun, the S-O-N, and we are like moons. We have to reflect his light. So in order to reflect his light, then we need to be in his light, to reflect his light to a dark world. So every last one of us growing in Christ-like character, every last one of us. That's a purpose for every one of us. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Romans. I was just talking about how I'm doing it. Romans 8:29. So all of us. It's not a matter of you say, well, I have no idea what I need to be doing in my life. Well, I can tell you one thing for sure, absolutely, there is no doubt about it. You need to reflect Christ in your life. Number two, here's something we all have as our purpose. Being the best we can be, which in turn glorifies God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Again, that's two purposes we all got. We all have to grow in Christ and reflect his character. And another way we reflect his character is by giving it all we got, because people see it. And you know, a lot of times these people, that if you're trying your best to reflect Christ, and you're trying your best to emanate Christ by giving it your best, you know what else is going to happen on your job and places? You're going to wind up getting all kinds of rewards for it. And it's not because you're doing it for the reward. You're just trying to please your Father. And while you're trying to please your Father, it also pleases the people around you. Okay? So that's a good thing. So here we go. We have only one purpose in life. No, you got multiple purposes. And also, your purpose could be to be a good father, to be a good mother. Your purpose could be to whatever. But there's all kinds of other purposes, okay? But that's two that everybody, y'all say everybody, everybody's got that. Next question. Is there any more questions about that? Anybody got any questions about that one? All right, next one. Can my purpose change? Yes. You see, here's the problem that we have. We mistake our journey for our destination. I was talking with somebody yesterday, and they were asking me, it was somebody from Emmaus, and I was talking with them, and they called me up, and they said, I'm having a little problem here. And of course, it was something to do with purpose, too. And they said, I'm trying to see, you know, about the purpose God's got for me and all the different things they're talking about. And they said, I know I want to know what God's ultimately got for me. And I said, what God ultimately has for you is a daily transition into what he has you to do every day. Now I brought this up to them and said, do you realize that the majority of people, when they get a college degree, very seldom do they always work in that college degree, in that field? They used to work somewhere else. You know, when I was at Fountain and I got promoted to management, and I've been managing now for like 6 months. I come in and the COO told me, said something. He got talking about being promoted. I said, yeah. I said, I didn't really, I'm not the best at building boats. I mean, you know, some of those guys were raised in it. You know what I'm saying? And he said, no, we promoted you because you had a degree. I said, yeah, my degree. I said, I got a partial degree in engineering. I said, but I had a full degree in Bible. He said, that's the one we promoted you for. And I said, you promoted me for my Bible degree. And he said, yes. And I said, well, I know I'm around here doing a lot of counseling and a lot of praying for folks, and you got me doing a lot of counseling, but that's not why I got promoted for managers. Yes. He said, because you showed me that you had the fortitude it took to do the study and to get that 4-year degree. He said, so, and you've told me it took you 8 years to get it. So, hey, because you took it six hours at a time. He said, it was perfect. And I said, that goes to show you, you don't necessarily get it in your field, you know. So again, craziness. You know what I'm saying? My purposes change. Watch this. Some purposes will change depending on the major changes in your life. And this is just an example. For example, a former student who now has a wife and children. This is just a good example. Therefore, while some of the purposes he had as a student still remain, like growing in Christ-like character, being the best he can be, glorifying Jesus, others will no longer be applicable. Now his major life purposes will be, number one, continuing to grow in Christ-like character. I will have set before you an example that you should do as I have done for you, John 13:15. Two, sacrificially loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, Ephesians 5:25. Right now, that's why we're moving to Washington, because I'm trying to love my wife and her family sacrificially. Linda's wore out. She can't keep this up. We're going at it for 8 months, 9 months now, and she is about to collapse. So we moved to Washington. So she no longer, Bethany can spend the night every night. And if there's a medical thing, Bethany can call me. Linda can still take her medicine. I can go handle it. And if it's a female thing, then I'll wake up Linda. Or if it's something major, I'll wake her up. But that way, she can get her sleep now. And she can start feeling like herself again, and she can get some rest. So again, I look at that as sacrificially loving my wife and helping my wife. Sacrificially helping my wife take care of her family. I didn't say sacrificially love your daughter. Right. And you can't watch football. That's sacrificial love in your life. Okay. All right, what, Bethany? Yes, happy wife, happy life. Not happy mom. Happy wife, happy life. Okay. That's right. Daddy may be the head, but mama's the neck. Daddy may be the head, but mama's the neck, and the neck turns the head. That's right. So here we go. Well, I'm just telling you is, I've noticed in the last, especially the last year with her mama being sick, just how much sacrifice is required on her part to help her mama and her daddy. Because the Bible says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long on this earth. That word honor does not just mean say yes sir, yes ma'am. That word honor has monetary value, which means take care of your parents, especially in their old age. You take care of them. You look out for them. Because there was no welfare system. There was no Social Security. You take care of them. Today, it means like what Linda's been doing, staying over there 3 or 4 nights a week. Bethany stays 2 or 3 nights a week. And Linda's only been getting sleep a couple nights a week. She's with me. I make sure she gets some sleep and gets some rest. And even then, she don't always get it. But again, sacrificial loving his wife as Christ loved his church and gave himself. Both. No. I know, but you got to understand too. There's all kinds of, there's all kind. Look, when you're young, you honor your mother and father, and if you do what you can do for them all the way up, you're fine. My mama lived to be 56, but I honored my mama, and I stayed right with her at the end for the last 3 months. I was there every night, so I mean, all night long. Sir, the golden years. Yeah, it's golden, all right. Because by the time you pay the doctors and the pharmacy and all that. Yeah. Ma'am? What's that? Yes. As Christ cherished the church. Can. Yeah, you can. It's the way you do it. It's all in how you do it. See, I'm cherishing my wife, but I'm also honoring my father, and I'm honoring her mother and father. But it's all different ways. See, I don't have to do for my mother and father and her mother and father what I have to do for my wife. My wife's sick. My dad's sick, but he's not invalid. Her mom and daddy, her daddy's getting there, but her mama's sick and is an invalid. And so what I'm doing is Bethany and I are helping Linda take care of her mama. But at the same time, I'm doing everything I can to make it easy for Linda. So it's a big old all the way around thing. It's not just a flat out do this, 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 and this. Here, you follow these three things here and you've done it. It's like when my dad had the stroke, I was right here on a Sunday morning, and my stepbrother had been calling me and texting me. And so he said, call me, man. And so I called him, and daddy had the stroke. So me and my brothers, my sister was going to go to, we were going to go to Ashford to see daddy. My sister was starting class the next day and had this big something to do in that class. It was going to take out her whole, she was going to start medical lab technician, and it was going to change her. If she didn't go to that class, it was going to change everything. And so we told her, you go to that. First, I called daddy. And I called my step brother, and I said, is it life or death? He said, it's not life or death, but it's still not good. And I said, but is it life or death? He said, it's not life or death. I got him here in time. They gave him the shot, and he's going to be okay. I said, good. So I said, Tammy, I am making a big brother decision. You stay here and do that test tomorrow. Me and Larry and Gary will go up, and if something happens, then you can come up. We'll let you know. So we got there with daddy, and I watched daddy go from couldn't talk and couldn't move to walking. It's just amazing. But a couple of days later, my mother-in-law has a heart attack. Okay? She didn't have the same thing daddy had. Daddy was lifted up amazing. The doctors were amazed at daddy. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. Linda's mama was not so. And so Linda went ahead and moved in and started taking care, because up until this point, the rescue squad was at the house two or three times a month, and she was going to the hospital, the emergency room once or twice a month, because my father-in-law kept doing things wrong. You couldn't get it. You just couldn't get it. And so Linda says, well, you're not going to kill her. I'm going to stay. I said, well, Linda, you go ahead and stay, and we'll back you up. So that's how we start all this rigmarole of going. So I'm sacrificially honoring, like in the morning. Linda could stay there in the morning and then got permission to go to work after she got her mama settled. But then she had to come back from work really late because of that. Here's sacrificially loving my wife. I get up at 6 in the morning, make my wife breakfast, and make her lunch, a hot breakfast that she needs, nutritious breakfast, not something parties. And I go to my mother-in-law's house with Bethany. I get Linda off to work. I take care of my mother-in-law, and I come on and do what I got to do. Okay? And then at 5 o'clock, if Linda hadn't got off, I go back and take care of my mother-in-law. And then I tell Linda to take her time and rest. Just take your time and rest. Do not have to rush. Take your time. Now, when we move over there 8 houses down from mother-in-law, she'll be able to rest a lot. So I'm taking care of my wife sacrificially, but at the same time, I'm still taking care of her mom and daddy and mine. You know, her mom and daddy needs my attention. My daddy don't need my attention. My daddy just needs me to love him. And so I'm loving my daddy. So again, you got to take all the factors in. You know, my mama, her last 3 months she lived, we were there every night, all night long, because daddy couldn't do it by himself. So it's me and Beverly and DC and Daniel and Bethany and me and my brother Gary. And some nights they'd run us all night long, all night long. You know. Yeah, well, see, look. So I might say this, all of us, when we honor our mother and father, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to be right there for them. It means that you got to help them when you can. And until this happened, we would see her mother maybe once a month or maybe once every other week. And now that all this has happened, the other day when I told her, I said, we're going to be here next week. We're going to be living down the road. My mother-in-law said, bless her heart, she said, you're not going to stay with me anymore? And I said, no, Mom, we're still going to be here. I said, but we're going to be down the road. Now I can run down here. It'll take me 20 to 30 minutes to get to you. I can just run down here. Right, she's not getting it. And I'm trying to tell her, I'm right down the road now. Instead of you calling me and I got it takes me 20 minutes. If there's no traffic, it takes me 20 minutes to get here. Now I can just run down here. It's not a matter. As a matter of fact, if y'all go, here's where it's at, because I've had people ask me, if you go down beside the hospital in Washington, it's called Old Bath Highway. After you pass Ridgewood, I don't know where Ridgewood's at. After you pass Ridgewood, the first stoplight is actually, I think, a slate stone road, and that goes to the high school. But before you get to that light, there's a road that bears off this way. It's called Pentecost. It bears off to the left. You hit that road and just follow it. And when it stops on something called Slate Stone Drive. You look right straight across, you'll see this little brick house with a yellow door. That's where we're moving. My mother-in-law lives 8 houses down on the other side of the road. And so I asked God to help us because it was 60 to 100 miles extra on my car a day, not including an hour plus driving back and forth a day. And Linda having to stay there and not getting her any sleep. And I said, Lord, you got to help us because it's not getting any better. And my mother-in-law is not ready to go to a nursing home. And my father-in-law, after that happens, he's still going to be there. And so it may last. There's no telling how long it'll last. And so this just seemed to make sense. She's getting a bicycle. I like to run. Linda checked me out the other day. Y'all going to be impressed. She got beside me in the car as I was running from the new house to my mother-in-law's, and I ran 18 to 20 miles an hour. 15. Yeah, I want punt return. I was just getting with it. I look like the coyote chasing after the roadrunner. No, it didn't last long. No. It was a 100-yard dash. Okay, ready? Let's get over here now. Did that make any sense? I'm using personal data to kind of fill in with the mother. You can still do sacrificially honor your wife and still honor your mother and father. And you can do it in a way that pleases God and also honors everybody who needs to be honored and or taken care of. It was like a couple of weeks ago, my mother-in-law, she's used to seeing me every morning giving her shot. She got up one morning, Linda gave her her shot. And I was here at the church, and she said, where's David? And Linda said, Mama, he's at church. She says, well, he always takes care of me in the morning. And she said, well, Mama, you got to put up with me this morning. She says, well, okay. Right, don't want to find a pattern change. Right. Okay. Teaching his children through his actions. This is a hard one because sometimes your children will drive you up the wall, around the corner, in a hole. That's right. Exactly. So teaching your children through his actions. That is a hard one because you try, no matter how hard you try, sometimes the children or life circumstances will make it really hard for you. And so the best you can, teach your children through your actions. And when you mess up, be quick to say, look, I messed up. That's also teach them through your actions that you're not perfect. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Any more questions about it? Can our purposes change? I think we just went around 3 rabbit holes to get through that one, but we got through it. Ready? All right, number 3. Are our purposes and goals the same? We get it all mixed up. I should have put a scripture here. My fact, I think I had a scripture there, and I was in a hurry, and I think I zapped it, but I wasn't sure if it sounded like I wanted it to sound. Our purposes are different from goals. However, they are related. Watch this. Your purposes answer the question, why am I here on earth? That's your purpose. Your goals answer this question, what am I to do here on earth? Get it? Why am I here? It's your purpose. What am I to do? What am I reaching for? It's kind of like my purpose here on earth is to be a dad, you know, to be the best dad I can be. But my goal, all right, here you go. Here's purpose. I mean, how'd y'all like Sunday morning when DC come out singing Brooks and Dunn? I mean, but it was a gospel version. He didn't just sing. If y'all listen to the words, it had been changed. It was no. The one was I saw. Yeah. Oh, Brad pays when I get where I'm going. Okay. Well, what I was gonna say is though, here's my purpose, and y'all all got the same. So it's not like I'm doing something different than y'all, but I'm trying to explain. My purpose in life is to be the best father I can be, and still, although fatherhood changes, you go from being chief cook and bottle washer to advisory role. Okay. Now I'm in an advisory role. They come to me and say, Dad, I need some help. Can you help me out? And sometimes I just step in and say, look, I know you didn't ask for any advice, but I'm getting ready to give you some advice. Okay? As an advisor, before I was the trainer. Now I'm an advisor. In a training role, now I'm in an advisor role. But my goal, once I saw what they could do, the Bible says, lead a child in the way it shall go, or teach a child in the way it shall go, or train up a child in the way it shall go. And that word in the way it shall go means bent. Bent. Okay? That word bent, like you bend a tree. Bent. Train a child in the way it shall go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. That word bent, you find what they're good at, and you put it in their hands, and you train them for that. Well, one thing I saw good with DC and Danny that could really do was I saw them very good at music. And so anytime they wanted another instrument, I put it in their hands. Not only did I put it in their hands, we learned how to play them together. We would play it all the time. We were constantly. My wife used to get so upset. She go, me and Bethany are trying to sleep, and y'all got this place to a honky-tonk. Turn it off. We were just always, me and DC and Danny would practice harmonies. We were practicing how to play. We'd turn on songs and hear, you pick your song up now. Just pick it up. Listen, let's play it. You know, and now they do that to me. What I was going to say is, though, my goal was to see them become great musicians that could lead in praise and worship. Now, my purpose was to be a dad, to train them. But my goal was to see them be awesome musicians. And that goal, okay, that goal come through. So now, again, so you see the difference in purpose and goals? You know, God let me choose my goal, but he chose my purpose. Think of it that way. God chooses your purpose, you can choose your goal. That's a good way to look at it too. If you know, God, your goal, your purpose would be a great wife, but your goal is to, like this one man was riding out, the mayor is riding in the parade at the Christmas parade with his wife on the back of the car, and they're riding back and forth, and as they're waving to everybody, he looks over and sees her old boyfriend out there at the gas station, running the gas station. He looks over at his wife and says, honey, see, if you'd have married him, you'd have been the wife of the gas station attendant. She said, no, if I'd have married him, he'd have been the mayor. Yeah. So I'm going to be a husband. I want to be the best husband I can be. But also want my goal as being a husband is not to be the best husband I can be. I want my wife to be able to feel safe and secure and to feel like she is special in my eyes in that. You know what I'm saying? Like in the same way, there's all kinds of things. As a pastor, my purpose is to be a pastor, but my goal is to lead people in a way that there's relief in their life. It's not just preaching a sermon to them, but something they can live on and chew on, and something they can, you know, can grow on. Amen. And I was just telling Stephanie, Linda today said, when's your new class start? I said, it started Sunday. She said, Sunday? I said, well, actually, Monday night. I said, but I want to go ahead and start Sunday and get a jump on it. because it's psychology. I said, it's another psychology I'm taking. And it's called personality development. So I'm going to use some of y'all, just names will be hid, but. So Linda says, well, mine starts today. And I thought she was just talking about going to Slate Stone. So I said, are you taking Slate Stone 107? That's our address. And she said, let me tell you about that. Remind me to tell you about Slate Stone 107. But this is really cool, the Slate Stone 107 thing. But Linda said, I'm starting. I said, Slate Stone 107. She says, no, Marketing 309. And I said, Marketing 309? What are you talking about? I didn't even know you were enrolled anywhere. And she said, well, I wanted to surprise you. I said, okay, you've surprised me. She said, are you surprised? I said, I'm surprised. I said, okay, where are you going? And she sent me a picture of Lee University where I'm going. She had signed up and wanted to get approved first before she told me so she could surprise me. So we're both going to the same college. She's going, I'm going Christian Leadership Counseling. She's going Christian Leadership Business. And so I thought that was pretty cool. But, No. All right. The other day, when my wife and I were looking, there was two houses for sale around my mother-in-law's. This one house we looked at, we thought it might be a good deal. We weren't sure. And so we started looking at it, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell Linda. I remembered I was in Newbern. I was right in front of Schlossky's when the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her to read Psalm 107. I said, okay. Linda, read Psalm 107. She says, what does it say? I said, I have no idea. I said, but the Holy Spirit just prompted me and told me to tell you to read Psalm 107. And so she turns to Psalm 107 and she gets crazy. She sends back a text. She's been going crazy. I said, okay, what did it say? And she said, in verse 3, it says, let's go to verse 4. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry. And this is the New Living Translation. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. And the house is on 107. And so Linda's already got a big old thing to put up on the wall of a foil. It says Psalm 107. He gave them a place of safety, a house of safety in the city. And that's just awesome. That's one of the things you know is God. You know what I'm saying? But getting back here, though, the relationship between the two of the goals you set should work together to help you reach your purpose. All right, now here's the next question. Any questions about goals and purposes? All right, here's the question. What is God's highest purpose? Here's a good one. What is God's highest purpose for my life? That's a good question. I'm glad somebody asked that. Oh, I did. Okay, ready? God's highest purpose for your life is for your life to glorify Him. Wow. God's highest purpose for you is that your life glorifies Him. God didn't create us to evangelize. God created us to worship Him, to have fellowship. Did you know that? That fellowship. God created us to have fellowship. That's number one. And your highest purpose is to glorify God. So now you can't say, well, I can't do what that guy can do. I can't sing like DC, or I can't play the harmonica like Eddie. You know, God didn't call me to play the harmonica like Eddie. God didn't call me to sing like DC. God called me to get on that bass and get back there and just play the bass. Okay? And when I'm singing, they turn the mic off. I know, I'm just playing. That's praise. That's right. Something my wife, not Linda. Beverly's telling me, said, "Look, you're having an epileptic seizure." What it is worship. It's just worship. I just close my eyes. DC says, "Daddy, I'm trying to get your attention," and there you go. And Brandon says, "Oh, Jimmy's in the groove. Don't mess with Jimi Hendrix when he's in the groove." But the point I'm trying to make is glorify him. So what? I can't play the harmonica like Eddie. You know, so what? I can't sing like DC or play like DC. That's not what I was called to do. So one of the primary ways to accomplish this is to be conformed to the character of Christ. The other purposes he has for you will flow out of this. Listen to that carefully. The other purposes will flow out of this. In other words, you seek to glorify God, he'll take care of the rest. The New Testament Greek word for conform is, I wrote it down there, sousex ex metizo, which means to become fashioned in a mind and character to another's pattern. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he called you to is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. New Testament Greek word for transformed is metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis, which means to change into another form. It's where we get butterflies. You know, a butterfly doesn't just do a little bit of change. You know, a butterfly, when that caterpillar gets inside of that cocoon, it becomes a jelly. Wow. I mean, it just becomes a jelly. Because there's no way that butterfly and that caterpillar even look alike. So, it is completely transformed. To change to another form, to transform, to transfigure. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you get renewed? It's in your head. That's where it starts. Then you'll be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12 and 2. God's highest purpose in my life is not to play that bass. God's highest purpose in my life is not to preach his word. God's highest purpose in my life is to glorify him. When I get around somebody, no matter how talented they are, no matter, they could probably speak the word so eloquently that it makes me feel like I just want to shut my mouth. It's like Sunday morning we were practicing, and it's really funny when this happens. We're sitting there practicing, and DC just does this. We're practicing, and DC just leans back and and he sounds like the record. He's just, and Brandon took his guitar up, so I'm going to go throw it down. And then I walked over, and then DC started up again, and I walked over and said, "Here, take mine with you." You know, again, if DC was glorifying DC, I wouldn't want to be around it. DC's glorifying God. When I see that boy start singing and gets cracked up and his voice starts cracking because now he's starting to cry because he's glorifying God, then I'm not worried about son. I told him, he said, "Daddy, can I just, what should I do?" I said, "Just play. Just play. Whatever you feel, you play. You're glorifying God, let it rip." Now, if he weren't glorifying God, I'd say, "Son, back off." And I have before when they were younger. There was times they were doing praise and worship when they were younger, and I look back and they're fighting. DC and Dan are literally fighting. One's by the bass, one's by the piano, and they're fighting. Or one was playing the drums, one's playing the piano, or one's playing the bass, and they're fighting about the timing. And DC says, "It's 4/4," and Dan says, "No, it's 3/4." DC says, "No, it's 4/4," and they're fighting. And I walked back there and I said, "Do me a favor, fellas." They said, "What?" I said, "Go sit down." And they said, "Daddy, you got to have a piano to bass them." I said, "No, I don't. Go sit down." I said, "And when you can glorify God, we'll come back up. As long as you're going to glorify self, you can stay there." And that you can ask anybody, y'all can ask DC and Daniel about it. They said, "We've been sitting down a many times." And they know that their job is not to play, their job is to glorify God. And so if somebody comes around me and all I hear is me, I just get sick at my stomach. Yeah. "How great I am. How great I am." Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Okay, now, last question. Versus what is God's highest purpose for my life? That's the first question. The next question is, what is my highest purpose? In other words, remember, I said God's purpose, God decides your purpose. You decide your goal. Right? The same way, God, his highest purpose for your life is to glorify him. Your highest purpose should be, again, to bring glory to God. Whether eat and drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I remember going through the fountain one day, and I needed something done, and I couldn't find anybody to do it. And I was in a hurry because I had a big audit coming, and I needed some stuff moved. And I knew how to drive a lift truck. I used to work on a lift truck. You know, I mean, not a problem to me. And so there were some of these managers around there going, I just go sit in my office and wait for somebody to come and help. I said, no, I got an audit coming, and they're not going to play. And they said, well, they'll understand because you don't mess with lift trucks. And I said, I don't. And then we got a lift truck, and I moved everything I needed to move, put it up. And I was so black. And I remember walking through, and somebody said, who'd you make, man? I said, why are you asking me? I said, we've never seen a manager do that. I said, really? I said, really? I said, you've seen it, man. And they said, well, what were you doing? I said, I'm trying to do the best I can. And they said, what, to make Mr. Fountain look good? And I said, no, to make God look good. And I went home, took a shower, and come back, and got ready, and had a big old audit. Everything was good. Okay, this isn't about us. Somebody said, why do you do this or that? Or why do you, whatever you do? It's because I'm trying to make God look good. I'm here to make God look good. We are here to make God look good. So next time you're doing something, think about it. I'm making God look good. I remember DC and Daniel are little, so Daddy would cut the grass. I walked out there. There was streaks of grass everywhere where they've been cutting the grass like this. You know, they didn't just go back and forth, they did like this. And you know, and that's pretty cool, just a little 6-7-year-old. When they're 13 and 14. Some of us, when we're getting started, we may do something look kind of shabby, but when God's looking at it, he's pleased because we're trying. But once we get to a certain age and a certain maturity in God, it's important that what we do looks good. We're glorifying God. And that word glorify means to make him look big. We're making him look big. When you accurately reflect the character of Christ, you give God glory. You reflect his worth. In him we are also chosen and we predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. It's important, whatever we do, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, have this in mind. That's why I like so much about Emmaus. Y'all that have been to Emmaus, weren't it first class? Mm-hmm. We'll pray for her too. She's a Methodist minister. We'll pray for her too. But again, yeah, if you go to Emmaus, you're going to see first class. Everything is first class. Y'all remember that guy came here and did Joseph's communion? Y'all saw how first class that was? I even had theatrical makeup on. That's how the whole Emmaus walked in. I'm going to do a combine with Mary and Joseph. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah. I was going to say, the point I'm trying to make is, whatever we do, just make sure we're making God look good. And we all fall short. Lord knows I fall short. There's no doubt I fall short. And I go back and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I fell short today. I didn't make you look as big as I wanted you to look because I was too busy making myself look like a big one with a big donkey on myself. You know, and so, anybody got any questions? No questions, no comments? Did this answer pretty much the questions, or is there any more questions that I should have answered that I didn't? That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. But there was this man. He was a carpenter. He'd been a carpenter for this other guy for like 50 years. He's getting ready to retire. He'd been a master carpenter. He's going to retire like in July. Well, right at the beginning of July, the boss man goes to him and says, look, I got one more house. I know you're getting ready to retire, but can you build one more house for me? He said, okay. Grudgingly, he said, okay. He said, I know it's going to kind of cross over with your retirement. Your plans to retire on the same kind of date that's going to be crossing over. He said, but if you don't mind, just do this one more for me. I never ask you to do another. He said, all right. And he was mad. He was so mad. He went to build that house, and because he was so mad, felt like the guy was taking advantage of him. He said, I've worked with him for 50 years. Now he knows I'm retiring. He wants me to build this house. And so he gets cheap lumber. He gets cheap fixtures. And he just goes ahead and throws it together. After he throws it together, he never did anything like this, ever. But this time he was mad. He felt justified in his madness. And so he just threw it together. When he got there throwing it together, he walked up to the boss man and said, there you go. There's your house. I'm retiring. And when he did, the boss man took the keys to the house and said, here, happy retirement. He was building his own house and didn't even know it. And he was cutting corners. And to say, if he'd done that last job like he done all the other ones, he'd have had an awesome house. Let's all stand. God is good all the time. All right. Brother Benny, we just missed some prayer, please.